Come on down.
Thank you. I was talking with somebody who said he rated the leader here and the department here. Okay? And I said, don't worry. Eventually, the department will follow the leader. If you rated the leader here and the department is there, well, do worry, because sooner or later, the department will follow the leader. Okay? I was running a seminar and doing that survey, and a woman said, Alex, I've rated our department 8 and our leader 4. And she said, but I agree with you. She said, because our leader is newly appointed. And we think we're doing well, but she's not a good leader. And I'm afraid if our leader does not change, we will also deteriorate as a team. But it is true. As the leader goes, so goes the leader. Up, middle, or down. Okay. Session number 2. I'd like to take you through a brief survey of John Maxwell's 5 levels of leadership. How many are familiar with Maxwell's 5 levels of leadership? Okay. All right. It can help you become a better people manager because it deals with a lot of the people side of people management. But let's start with a case study, okay? Your group is your team, okay? I want you to read the case study on page 3 and 4 of your workbook. I'll give you 3 minutes. Individually, try to answer those questions. After 3 minutes, I will give your team 7 minutes to discuss, to try to come up with a common team answer, okay? And I want you to appoint a team discussion leader, okay? Index finger to the ceiling. At the count of 3, I want you to elect the most qualified discussion team leader. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Okay? All right. All right, 3 minutes. Read the case. Three minutes self-study, and then I'll tell you when it's time to discuss. Go. Read the case for 3 minutes. Try to answer the questions on your own for 3 minutes. All right, time's up. I want you to discuss with your team to try to come up with a team answer to the 3 questions on page 4. What specific issues, behaviors will you address? What recommendations will you make to correct and or eliminate this situation? And what specific changes must you make in your leadership of Joan? Okay, 5 minutes. Go. 1 more minute. Okay, you about ready? You need more time? All right, 44 seconds. All right. Who wants to go first? We're not going to get all the teams to present. You have 1 minute. And if the preceding team has made your point, you say, agree, we will add this. Okay? So who wants to go first? Okay. 1 minute. What specific behaviors will you address? Dexter.
Really, it's also, first is, for the obvious reason, because of her attitude, her outburst and all that, but we also discussed that it's an issue between the boss because we've sugarcoated her a lot of times. So we have to check ourselves and take responsibility also. When you talk to her, you tell her it's not about how she performs, but it's how her attitude is towards work.
What would be your recommendations to correct or eliminate the situation?
Recommendations is tell her you praise her, exactly what I mentioned a while ago, but also have a team building situation with them. That's her solution for that. So that people will get to know her personally, and there's a softer side, so that people know her softer side.
What changes will you make in your leadership of Joan?
Mentorship and accountability. We noticed that it's not more...
Excuse me, class. Dexter is speaking.
Thanks, Pastor Paul. No, he's kidding. No, but the difference between coaching and mentorship is coaching is work-related. We feel that it's more work-related and how she does excellently there. So more of mentorship, really get to know her outside of the office and you know, and also accountability. Constant check on her, like once a month, how's she doing, etc.
Thank you very much, Dexter.
Good job.
Two more. Who wants to go next?
Call on somebody. There
we go. Cricket. If Dexter has mentioned the answers, just say we agree and we add this.
Stand.
You're my mic stand. Wow. Mic stand. Thank you, Pastor Paul. Actually, I agree with everything he said, but Pinky discussed with our group that she would also apologize for not immediately correcting her for this outburst, because she's been talking about the stellar quality. So as a good supervisor, she should have told her this feedback a long time ago.
Who's the supervisor in this case?
You. Me, yeah.
Right.
So I apologize, you know. I'm sorry I did not. Okay, thank you. I'm released.
Okay. So, and what recommendations will you make?
So actually, we would have a meeting with her. I would meet with her regularly to just, you know, so she can talk to me about things and we could work through or process certain situations. Also, I would also ask her to really do an out-of-work activities with her staff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they just like what Dexter
what
said.
What change will you make in your leadership?
Well, I would be, like a parent, you would correct immediately.
Okay.
Immediate correction.
Okay.
And give feedback immediately.
Okay. Thank you very much, Cricket.
Yeah.
Okay, Lynn.
Go, Lynn. Stand, please, just because of the size.
Are you implying that I'm short?
You fit in.
Pastor Paul used to do an illustration in ENLI about this girl he used to know who was about 5'1", and I said, "This is 5'1", not this." I agree with Cricket about. We also agreed that, you know, the supervisor should acknowledge his or her own fault for not having pointed this out sooner. The only thing I would disagree with Dexter's table is that we're not sure that this Joan actually has a softer side. So even if you put her in a team building, it's not necessarily going to help matters, because if she's got a whole host of adversarial staff and she still thinks she's always right, she thinks her way is the only way and the best way. So I think before you get to that stage, she needs to have people management training, she needs to have personality development training, and she needs to have a lot of coaching, because a lot of times, you know, as a fellow shark, I can say that, you know, you have to come to the realization of these things yourself. You have to be able to see it and acknowledge it before you're going to be able to change and realize that, okay, I need to work on this, I need to work on this, I need to work on this, and then you can get to the team building stage.
Thank you very much, Lynn.
Oh, let yes, and we said we would tell Joan that the tree dies from the top.
Okay, very good. Who is the boss of Joan in the case? Us. Okay, so this is just a case study, all right? Whose fault is Joan? What is your fault? Okay, according to the case, why have you not been given feedback? She performs, and her performance produces results, and you are the beneficiary of these results. You mean to tell me you have tolerated, you have inflicted Joan on the rest of your team because you were benefiting from her results?
That's true.
And what do you call that, ladies and gentlemen? Big S. Selfishness. Okay. absolute selfishness. Okay? There's a thin line between managing people and manipulating people. There's a very thin line between leading people and using people. Very thin. And inadvertently, we cross it every time. I cross that line very often. Okay? Now, when you do that, what might Joan feel? What would she feel if you were used? Okay. Why have you not spoken to her about it in the past? She was producing results. Why are you speaking to her now? Because your boss told you to. In other words, if no one told you, you were not going to talk to her at all. You were going to continue to use Joan. Are you with me? Yeah. It happens every day. Okay? Happens every day. Wittingly or unwittingly. Okay? By the way, this is a real case. Nothing to do with Victory. Okay? We borrowed it shamelessly from a John Maxwell workbook. Okay? But it is a composite of an actual case. Two cases, they joined into one and they developed this case. So now that you're speaking, in other words, you were not going to talk to Joan until your cover was blown. Because the niece of your boss blew your cover. So in other words, wow. But let's say, because you're a good Christian, you repented. And you're now going to sit down with Joan. What might be the first thing you want to say? Like Cricket said, apologize. And what would it take to apologize? Wow. So you go from selfishness to it happens every day. Now, listen carefully. Okay? There is no power on earth other than the power of God Himself greater than leadership humility in influencing people. Okay? There is no power on earth other than the power of God Himself greater than leadership humility in influencing people. Okay? Take that home. There is no power on earth other than the power of God Himself than the power of parental humility in influencing children. Have you ever apologized to your children?
Yes.
Okay, if you apologize in a totally sincere way and say, honey, I should not have screamed at you. Dad was wrong. Will you forgive me? You know, I can make a career out of apologizing to my children. I can write a book on it. You know, I discovered children have the softest hearts on earth towards their parents. They know which hand feeds them. But you know what? I have never apologized to my children and have not been forgiven. And the bond between us strengthened because of parental humility. Okay, bring that home. Spousal humility. No power on earth other than the power of God Himself. It's greater than spousal humility in influencing a spouse. Okay? Takes time. Lord, he's not yet changing. I've been humble already. Takes time. Maybe God's humbling you more. Okay? So, if there's one thing that I've learned in leadership, is leadership humility pays a lot of bills. Okay? It solves a lot of problems. One thing that impressed me in Victory is Steve. I mean, in other churches, you walk in and within 3 seconds, you know who's the boss. Here, it takes you time. Who's the leader? And Steve comes up and he says, hi, I'm Steve. I'm one of the pastors here. And I said, oh, he's one of the pastors. Huh? You know, the man is humble. And that's why he's drawn so many people to the Lord because of that. Okay. If you humble yourself to Joan, might Joan's heart and mind be open to you? Yeah. You see, to influence people, their hearts and minds must be open to you. Okay? And the key to that is humility. And you're going to hear that again and again and again. And by the way, if it's fake humility, they're going to see through it. It's going to be, Joan, we have a problem. Okay? Let me start with mine. Okay? I should have told you this a long time ago. But I did not. Honestly, I've been selfish. You've been producing results. And it has benefited the team. And frankly, I've made my bonus because of it. But I've been selfish. And I should have told you this a long time ago. Joan, will you forgive me? Wow. If I were Joan, I'd say, wow, what am I going to get next? You know? But my mind and heart will be open to you. And you can influence me as a result. Okay? So, that's the people side in people management. There's a thin line between using people and leading people. Using people and managing people. I realize we use people inadvertently. We didn't mean to. But we're so preoccupied with goals, with the task, and we forget the relationship. Okay? And the reverse is bad as well. If you're so preoccupied about relationships and your team is nice and touchy-feely and everybody's happy, but nothing, no results are being accomplished, hindi rin pwede yun. Okay? So it's got to be a good balance between the two. All right. We go to John Maxwell's concept of leadership. On page 5, the conceptual model is very simple. That chart that shows on the vertical axis is degree of influence. On the horizontal axis is what? Time, all right? So vertical axis, degree of influence. On the horizontal axis is time, okay? And the idea, according to Maxwell, is to increase your effectiveness as a people manager, as a leader. You bring people from being compliant to you to being committed to you. Okay? And as you bring people from compliance to commitment, your influence, you do that by increasing your influence over them. Okay? And it takes time. So that chart is not vertical because it takes time. It's not flat because it's not impossible. So in time, your leadership effectiveness grows. Now, look at that chart carefully. What is at zero influence? Compliance. You know what that means? Think about it. If all you get is, yes, boss. Do this, yes, sir. Do this, yes, ma'am. If all you get is compliance, according to this model, you have zero leadership effectiveness. You are not a leader. You're only a person of authority. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when you want people to take the initiative, when you want people to face challenges, they need commitment. But if you operate on compliance alone, since you didn't tell me, boss, I didn't do it. You see. Yeah. Now, let's bring it home. What do you want from your children? Compliance or commitment? Be careful. What do you want? See, you waffled. You waffled. See? What do you want? Compliance to your beliefs? Or commitment to your beliefs? Now, you see? That's the problem. When you say commitment, that means you will allow for non-compliance. So when your 13-year-old comes home with an earring, he's a guy, maybe that's no longer as radical now, all right? Okay, fine. Well, my son came home, and he was bald. He shaved his head, his hair off, okay? On purpose. Willfully. Okay? You see? Oh. You know, if you go for compliance...
Don't laugh, guys. You're a big sound.
If you go for compliance, you must tolerate chaos. Some measure of chaos. I'm sorry, if you go for commitment, you must tolerate a measure of nonconformity and chaos. If you go for compliance, everything will be orderly. But there will be no dynamism, you see. So, Maxwell says, hey, you want to go for commitment. Okay? But be prepared what that entails. That you will allow for nonconformity, for noncompliance, some method in the madness, some chaos. Okay? But that's how you deal with young people. Hindi po ba? I mean, you want their hearts, so you will allow for weirdness. Hey, let's face it, we're all weird. We have our own unique dysfunctions and weirdness, okay? So, turn the page.
Question.
Yo. Cricket.
Is it possible that the husband will work for the commitment and the mother will work for the compliance?
No, no. If you do that, you will have conflicted children. Okay? Half their hearts are going here and half are going there. And they will be neurotic. Really? Really? Okay? Let's go to the chart. Okay? Page 6. Okay? Let me talk to you about the 5 levels of leadership. Okay, this is a model. It is not a doctrine. Okay, I don't believe in it completely, but there are some gems of goodness in it. Okay, so at the lowest level is, level 1 is what? Position. Okay, position leadership, your degree of influence is based on your rights because of your position. So right beside position leader, write the word rights, R-I-G-H-T-S, okay? Okay, I'm the boss, I have the title, you obey me because I'm the boss, okay? I have a right to be obeyed, okay? Higher level is permission. Permission level, the degree of influence is determined by relationships, okay? People not only obey you because you're the boss, people follow you because they like you. They have a relationship with you. You're friendly to them. They're friendly to you. You like them. They like you. So right beside permission, write the word relationship. Okay? They're now going the second mile. Not simply because you're my boss, but I like you. I like working here. Okay? Higher up is production leader. Okay? People follow you because of the results that you have produced for the team. Okay? My boss is smart. My boss is effective. We're a winning team. That's why we follow him. He's good. And he brings us to the right direction. And we accomplish our goals. And in the corporate world, we make our bonuses, etc., etc. So production leadership is very effective because of the results. What is the 4th level? People development. Here, your degree of influence is because of what you do for the people. In the 3rd level is what you do for the organization. Okay? Here is what you do for the people. You develop them. It's called reproduction. You reproduce yourself in your people. Okay? So you've got position, influence gained from rights. Permission, influence gained from relationships. Production, influence gained from results. People development, influence gain from reproduction. And finally, level 5 is what? Personhood. And the R word is respect. People follow you simply because of who you are. A track record of integrity, a track record of results, a track record of developing people. And I mean, you name it, Nelson Mandela, Gandhi, of course, Jesus. You know, by virtue of their person, because of the accumulation of all of their past actions, they are followed. Okay? So essentially, those are the five levels of leadership. According to the theory, you go from one level to the next, okay, over time. Now, this is where it breaks down, because in the corporate world, for example, I walk in, I'm the president, okay? You have to obey me. But I became president because of results. Okay, so, you know, I'm on 1 in 3. And with some of the people, I'm in 1, 2, and 3, because I've nurtured them, okay? And those people I've nurtured, I'm also on level 4 with them, okay? And to some, I might be level 5. So in this concept, you could be level 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5 to a different variety of people, okay? But it breaks down when you talk about a mother. A mother is all 5 to her children. I mean, obey me because I'm mom, and I love you. You're my daughter or son. I cook for you. Those are results. I laundry for you. Those are results. I give you your allowance. I nurture you. I'm going to raise you. That's level 4. And, you know, personhood. So a mother is all levels to her children. Okay? To her children. Now, what it is useful in is to identify some styles. Most people begin and end with level 1. Okay? I'm the boss, period. Okay? And they wonder why they're not as effective in getting productivity out of their people. So you could use the model to identify which level you are not developing. Okay? Now you could be a nice person, but you're a lousy technical manager, and the department is failing. The department is not making its goals. And so there's demoralization. And no matter how nice you are, you're not going to influence people. So you have to work at the different levels of influence to become an effective leader. Any questions? Okay. What's the R word in level 1? Rights. Okay. I'll tell you a situation. You tell me what level it's being used. At home, okay? I want you to be home at 10. This is dad to teenage son. Why? Because I'm your dad. I said so. What level is that?
One.
How often do we use level 1? Why do we always use level 1?
Easy.
Okay? But do you see the cost, the implication? If you don't build relationships with your children when they're small, they will look at you and there will be distance. Okay? And they won't listen to you. And the reason why kids listen to their barcada is because of relationships. You see? And that's why we have to learn how to develop relationships, because it is, remember, leadership is influencing people. You can't influence people without relationships. Now, when is level 1 important?
Urgent situations,
okay? There's a fire. You're not going to say, there's a fire. Any ideas on how to get out of here? You know, you direct. Or an infant is about to put her finger into the socket. You're not going to say, honey, that's not a good idea. No, you have to direct. And so there are uses to level 1. Okay, and don't knock level 1 too much, because there are situations when you need to be level 1. Okay. The other thing I want you to understand is becoming a good leader takes time. There are no shortcuts. Okay, no shortcuts. Now, some people have natural leadership traits, and that's true. And they will, but unless they develop it, they will not be at their peak. But what I want to share with you is this. Anyone and everyone can learn to become an effective manager, an effective leader. Let me repeat. Anyone and everyone can become an effective leader or manager. Position one is the least effective long term. Okay, and the tragedy is I have worked for people who up to now they're still on level one because they have not learned to it has to do with your own self-esteem and you know, the way you were brought up, and unless you become aware of your own dysfunction and weirdness. I mean, everyone, say with me, I am weird. I have wonderful dysfunctions. That's the truth. That's the truth, okay? Jesus breaks the dysfunction, okay? See, Jesus breaks the generational impact of what my great-grandfathers did to their children and their grandchildren. But we must understand we are uniquely weird and we are dysfunctional. And self-awareness is very important to understand me so that I can relate with others better and understand them better as well. Okay. Now, Maxwell presumes on a lot of things, on a lot of structural things. That's why on page 7 of your workbook, I introduce 6 ways to become a better people manager. And numbers 1, 2, and 6 are not addressed by Maxwell. Maxwell addresses numbers 3, 4, and 5. Okay? The 6 ways address 6 issues in becoming an effective people manager. Issue number 1 is clarity. The issue of clarity. If things are not clear, there's no way you can manage people effectively. The second is the issue of competence. If you're incompetent technically, you will not be able to become an effective manager. The third is the issue of leadership style or influence. The fourth is the issue of mentoring and coaching. Too many people do not mentor or do not coach. They think people will grow up on their own. The fifth is the issue of culture and attitudes. And the sixth is the issue of sustainability. I mean, many managers forget that people can burn out. And they don't think about the sustainability and make adjustments in their organizations. Okay, so let's deal with number 1. Make sure 5 structural things are in place. If you can get 4 out of these 5, is okay. Okay, you need 4 out of this 5. In fact, the first 4 out of this 5. Make 5 structural things are in place. Good people management cannot happen in a vacuum. It presupposes the existence of some basic structures. What is the principle? Structure determines thinking, which drives behavior and results. Everyone repeat that with me. Structure determines thinking, which drives behavior and results. Number 2, together. Structure provides order, promotes discipline, and combats subjectivity. And finally, the absence of key structures will inhibit effective people management. When I was in Del Monte, I asked the sales manager, how do you evaluate people? If the whole business makes a quota, everyone is good. If we miss target, everyone is bad. I said, what if some people are better than others? And some people made their targets and some people missed their targets. Well, no, this is team. I said, wow. How do you know how much raise to give one person versus the other? Everyone gets 5% or 10%. I said, wow. No wonder. The organization was dying. And there were zombies walking every day in the office. Like, we call them the walking dead. They were walking, but they were dead. They were not accomplishing anything because of structural deficiencies. Okay, there was no performance. There was no job description. There's no performance appraisal system, but we'll deal with that here. So there are 5 structural things. The first one is mission or the purpose of the organization. Is it clear? Thank God in Victory it's very clear. Honor God and make disciples. Okay, you must be clear on purpose. Okay, and the structure there is the mission description, okay? And we have that's easy. Mission is structural and fundamental. Without mission, there is no purpose. We wouldn't know what we're here for. Praise God, VCF is crystal clear on its mission. Two, direction. Is there a compelling vision? Again, disciples making disciples in every campus, in every nation. My goodness, in our generation. That's pretty compelling. And Mission Sunday, two Sundays in a row. Boy, I got goose pimples at worship service. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Vision is structural and fundamental. It tells the organization where it should go or aim for in the pursuit of its mission or purpose. Without a vision, we would not know what direction we're headed. Will everyone please stand up? Everyone, stand up. Okay? Index finger to the ceiling. Okay? Please obey me. At the count of three, close your eyes. One, two, three, close your eyes. At the count of three, I want you to point and to face where you think north is. Close your eyes. One, two, three, point and face to the north. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Point and face to the north. Point and face. The sky is not the north. Bring down those hands. Point and face to the north. Point and face to the north. Okay, open your eyes. Look at one another. Open your eyes. Okay? If I told you to proceed to where you think north is, what will happen to this group? Okay. North happens to be there. Okay? Okay? So, index finger to the ceiling. Index finger to the ceiling. One, two, three. Close your eyes. One, two, three. At the count of three, point and face to where I told you north is. One, two, three. Point and face. Point and face. Bring down those fingers. Point and face. Point and face. The sky is not the north. Point and face. Look around you. Look around you. Is that better? Yes. That's vision. Okay? Sit down. When the leader has vision, okay? May bagong gimmick na naman sa ano. When the leader has vision, when the leader knows where he's going, there are two conditions on the vision. You know where you're going and you are able to make people follow you. Then you're an effective leader. Okay? Some people know where they're going, but they can't have people follow them. Not a good leader. Worse, some people don't know where they're going and have all sorts of people following them. That's the Pied Piper, right? I think that was it. So, before the coffee break, yeah. Now, you may have the vision, disciples making disciples in every campus, in every nation, in our generation. Ideally, you get that vision and you break it down for your team. For your team. How do you translate that vision for your team? Okay? Vision starts with what? What do I want? Okay? Since we still have 3 minutes, I'll do this, okay? Okay? What is the vision? How do I do it? Let's do it, okay? Wrong. Sorry. It's, what is it? Let's just do it. And we'll figure out how along the way. See? Vision cannot be hostage to how. Okay? If vision, I mean, you know, disciples, making disciples in every campus, in every nation, in our generation? Are you crazy? The answer is just a little bit. Everyone tell me, just a little bit. Okay. If the response to your vision is, are you crazy? It's probably a good vision. Okay? Because it is not hostage to how. Okay, now, what is hostage to how is an operating plan. You better know how to do the operating goal for next year. Okay, If you say, oh, I have no idea, but it's a great operating plan. No, no. You're talking about a vision. Operating plan, you better know how. But vision, forget how. What is it? Just do it. When John Kennedy said, by the end of this decade in 1960s, America will land a man on the moon, the technology to develop rockets to go as far as the moon did not exist. And I imagine Kennedy talking to the NASA engineers, and the NASA engineers must have said, Your Excellency, with all due respect, Mr. President, are you crazy? Yes. Just a little bit, kayo naman eh. Just a little bit, okay? Sir, the technology does not exist. Well, what can we do? We can shoot a rocket above the atmosphere, and it can go around the Earth just like the Russians, because Yuri Gagarin was the first man to circumnavigate, to fly in space, and the Americans were embarrassed. How can a second-rate economy like Russia beat us? The how did not exist. In 1969, July, Neil Armstrong disembarked, or as we say in the Philippines, deplaned from the lunar module, put one foot on the lunar surface and said, one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. And he was brought back to Earth alive. And 2 years ago, we celebrated the 40th anniversary of the moon landing. See, the vision was land the man on the moon and bring him back to Earth alive. Okay, the third part was very important. Okay, see, it happened because Kennedy refused to accept the absence of how. Okay? When Martin Luther King said, I have a dream, see, his people said, Reverend King, with all due respect, are you crazy? Just a little bit. Sir, Mississippi, this is the hotbed of racial discrimination. It's not going to happen. But he said, no, I insist, I have a dream. I mean, in the U.S. today, when you're applying for a job, they can't ask your gender. They can't ask your age for fear of discrimination. It's been institutionalized. Racial equality is institutional, even though in practice there's still some discrimination. But thanks to Martin Luther King, it's been institutionalized, something that was impossible in the past. So you got to get your vision, and the trick is to break it down for your team. What's our team's vision? And forget the how, just do it and figure things out along the way. 10-minute coffee break.